Welcome to Learning Works. I'm Tony Ryan. Newcomers to Australia can experience real difficulties in learning English, especially if they belong to minority language groups. Through TAFE English Language and Literacy Services in Queensland, an innovative project aims to produce a bilingual everyday Australian English picture dictionary. At the 2009 Australian Council for Adult Literacy National Conference in Perth, I spoke to Hazel Davidson about this resource, which will assist both adult literacy teachers and individual students.
I'm an English as a second language teacher. I teach adult immigrants, and I have done for the last 25 years. I specialise in people who have very little or no print literacy in their first language. Often they've never been to school at all, and they have obviously extra problems as well as needing to learn English, because in Australia you need to be able to read and write as well.
Where do these people come from?
It depends on what's happening in the world in general and the Australian immigration program. The last few years, a lot of them have come from Africa, refugees who've been in camps in multiple countries, who've been hounded from one country to another. We're also getting minority groups from Burma and that area, and obviously people from Afghanistan and Iraq, that sort of area.
Mm-hmm. When they first arrive in Australia, it must be a pretty daunting task as to know what to do first, how to begin their lives again.
Oh, it's just, well, especially for the people who've come from villages with no electricity, no running water, no flushing toilets, no... The whole world is completely different for them, and very intimidating. They've never paid rent before. They've never, you know, you name it, and they've never done it before.
So where do you start?
Oh, you start at the beginning. You start with my name is Hazel, and gradually get them to the stage where they can give their personal details. We have to teach them about public transport, going to the doctor, shopping, all those sorts of things, and you gradually build up the language. You also have, of course, to start with teaching the alphabet and the sounds of the alphabet, and gradually build up the skills so that they can read and write ultimately. But it takes a long time with people who are traumatised. They're often torture and trauma victims. Their health is often quite dicey because they haven't had proper nutrition or any health care at all for most of their lives. They've got immense problems. You just, as an Australian, you can't quite get your head around it.
Not only are they learning to speak English and write English, which is your role as an ESL teacher, but they're also having to find somewhere to live. They're also having to find, eventually, I guess, some work.
Yes, and the government's very keen for them to find work. And they're very keen to find work. They're not, they don't fit the stereotypical view of some Australians that they're lazy and they just want to stay on benefits. They really, really, really want to get a job and look after themselves. But to do that, they've got to have English, and generally they've got to be able to read and write as well. So it takes quite some time and a huge amount of effort. So, you know, they face just immense problems that we can't even imagine, really.
So what resources help you to do your job?
We have a fair range of resources available, and the resource in particular that I'm working on at the moment is a picture dictionary, which a colleague, Dorothy Court, and I are working on. Dorothy does the pictures. She's actually got a degree in art and teaching art, as well as being an ESL teacher with 25 odd years experience. So she does the pictures and I provide the text and work out how we're going to lay it out and all that sort of stuff. And the idea is that we will provide the English and the pictures, and then it can be translated into whatever minority language is needed at the time. And TAFE English Language and Literacy Services in Brisbane agreed that this was an excellent project from their point of view, because you get people, you know, if someone speaks, say, Chinese, there are resources available, or Arabic, or, you know, the major languages in the world. But if they speak Nuer or Kurundi or Karen, there are very, very few resources, and certainly not picture dictionaries suitable for adults as in a settlement program. And so at the moment, we're providing the English, and there's translation going on sort of one step behind us as we're writing and producing the English. At the moment, we've got Nuer, which is a language from southern Sudan. It's the second largest language group in southern Sudan, and it's closely related to Dinka, which is the other very big language group in southern Sudan. And the Nuer guys tell me that the Dinka people will find this useful as well. Mm-hmm. We've got Kurundi, which is the language spoken in Burundi, and we've got quite a lot of refugees from Burundi. Mm-hmm. We've got Karen, which is a minority group from Burma. Most of the people who are here have come from refugee camps in Thailand. And just starting now is Mardi, which is a language from the border between southern Sudan and Uganda. And who knows in the future?
You mentioned earlier that you are helping people to actually learn our alphabet. And I guess from that you're saying that we don't even have our ABC in common with these people, many
well,
of these people.
Well, if people haven't been to school, it doesn't matter what their alphabet system is. They haven't got it because you learn it at school. And yes, in a lot of cases, it's not the same. The Nuer language, for example, is a mixture of our alphabet and the phonetic alphabet because it was originally not a written language. It was first written in 1912 by the missionaries, and the linguists have worked out how to put it into, you know, into symbols, into writing, and that's how they've done it. So from our point of view, writing this dictionary, it was fairly tricky because you're dealing in two alphabets at once, and the computer doesn't always like that, but we've gradually worked out how to overcome the problems.
I guess, Hazel, I should have asked you earlier, you mentioned a dictionary and I immediately thought of a book, but what you're talking about is actually something that's computer-based.
No, what I'm talking... Well, it's computer-based when we write it, obviously, because everybody writes everything on a computer these days. And TELS, TAFE English Language and Literacy Service, are intending to put it on their website for their teachers, but it will be published in book form.
For the students.
Well, for it will be available free to TAFE teachers in Queensland, and it will be on sale for anyone else who wants to buy it. Mm-hmm. So students will be able to buy it, teachers in other states will be able to buy it, teachers in the school system will be able to buy it, people overseas will be able to buy it. It'll just be on sale as a book. And who knows, we may finish up developing it further and having sound. And, you know, I've got all sorts of ideas about what we could do, but you need money to do them.
I have to say, I can see the enthusiasm for the work that you do.
Oh, yes. It's very satisfying. It's very interesting. It's challenging because we've got to work out what vocabulary people need. And it's not the same as a picture dictionary for children, because what adults need to live in a foreign environment is quite different. We've done a section on verbs, and yes, we've got come and go and the very, very common ones, but we've got a few that look like an aberration. We've got, for example, sterilise, because you've got to be able to talk to a mother about sterilising the baby's bottles if they're using bottles for a baby. So, you know, you've got things like that that wouldn't normally appear in a low-level dictionary, because you're talking about people's lives. And as teachers of long experience, we've got a fair idea of where the gaps are and what sorts of words they do actually need to know to function in Australian society or Western society in general.
I'm very interested to hear you say that these are not children, they're adults, and therefore the resources need to be appropriate to adults, not something that's dumbed down, even if I can put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I right there?
Oh, yes. That doesn't make them unsuitable for children, of course, but you're thinking about it primarily about the needs of adults.
Of adults.
And when you've got a dictionary, no one individual is going to need every word that you put in it, and teachers and students will be able to pick and choose. It's in alphabetical order. You find the words you want. And the picture adds to the meaning. In some cases, we're giving examples of the use. In the verbs, we give an example of, at least one example of the use of every verb. In some verbs, like have, where we have so many different uses of it, we give more than one. We've got, he has a broken arm to show have as suffer from. They have three children to show have as own. They are having lunch to show have as eat or drink. She is having a baby to show she is pregnant, and she is having a baby to show she is giving birth. All for have.
Of course, then you can get into the have heads and
That's grammar, though. That's not a dictionary function.
But I'm just thinking how complex English must be.
Oh, yes, it is, yes, yeah. But we're not writing a grammar book in this case. Okay. Yeah, we're writing a dictionary. You know, other people have said, oh, you could put this, that and the other. And I say, no, that's not the job of a dictionary. That's the job of a different kind of book.
Yeah. Hazel, I guess you see people coming in with very little, if any, knowledge of English and of our country. But then, on the other hand, you must see people who go through your system, if I can put it that way, and come out the other end, and there's a success.
Yes, you get two kind. I could sort of say, in general, you get two kinds of success. I can think of one elderly lady from Sri Lanka I taught, and when she first came, her family brought her. She'd never been to school. She was almost rigid with fear at the idea of this. And 6 months later, one of the teachers was down in the canteen and saw her ordering coffee. And her, when we talked to her family, they said she loves to come to school. Now, from an outsider's point of view, they would say her English was terrible. But we knew that she had gained all this confidence and she was just blooming. And she was having a lovely time. There were students from many different countries. She's made more friends. The teachers were nice to her and so on. So you've got that kind of success. She was close to 80 years old and had never been to school before. The other kind you get is generally younger people who will start off with no English, and you watch them blossom through and finish up going to university in Australia, and you think, wow. Yeah. You know, I knew this person when I said to them, what is your name? They just froze. And now they're going to university in Australia. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes several years, and it takes a lot of hard work. One of the first things that they learn to say, and they do it spontaneously, is they say, Australia, very good, over and over again.
I can see the sparkle in your eye and the enthusiasm in your voice. Yeah, yes. But it's great adult learning in action, isn't it?
It is. It's really, really, it's very challenging work, but it's really very rewarding work.
Hazel Davidson, thank you for talking to Learning Works.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hazel Davidson is an English as a second language teacher in Brisbane. And that item will shortly be on the Learning Works website, along with further information on what sounds like a very useful resource. Well, that's our program for this week. I hope you can join me next time for Learning Works. From PBAFM in Adelaide, I'm Tony Ryan.